Our reading is from Jeremiah chapter 31, reading verses 31 through to verse 34. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbour or say to one another, "Know the Lord," because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. So, since the start of Lent, we've worked our way through some of the big Old Testament covenants, God's promises, his contracts with his people. Today, we look at the one we've been working towards and referring to every single week so far, the new covenant. Here we have Jeremiah, the prophet, a messenger of God who is telling the people about what is to happen in the future, delivering the message that the future will bring a new, different covenant. It hasn't happened at this point in history. It's something for the future. In those short verses that we've just heard in our reading from the book of Jeremiah, there are four references to this being something in the future. In those days, the days are coming, the time is coming, after that time. This reassurance of a different, better future, different from the here and now, would have been really desperately needed news for those living in Jeremiah's time. Jeremiah himself is often referred to as the weeping prophet, a man chosen by God to deliver messages warning people in desperate need. He has brought the people bleak and sobering messages from God. He's been called to highlight how they've broken their promises to God, how they've breached their side of the covenant, their promises to God. He's pointed out their habits of idol worship, selfishness, and just generally living a life completely opposite to the way God asked of them, and in a way that is any good for them. He made clear that the government and religious leaders were corrupt, they were self-serving, they neglected ordinary people, and they left a trail of injustices, failing to meet the needs of those who needed help most, particularly the poor, widows, orphans, and immigrants. Jeremiah went to the people with dire warnings that such a broken, dysfunctional society would collapse one way or another. And it did. Jerusalem did end up being destroyed again, and the Israelites yet again found themselves cast out of their homeland and having to seek safety in exile, refugees of their time yet again. As we've thought about in the last few weeks, when God makes a covenant, it's forever. He promises to look after his people, and those promises don't end. He promised Noah never to destroy the earth again. He promised Abraham that there would be numerous generations to come with many successful individuals within them. And last week, through Moses and the snake, it was a promise of healing. So it's no surprise that God doesn't just sit back and watch the people of Jeremiah's time self-destruct, but instead he switches Jeremiah's message from one of warning to a message of love and hope, that there will be a change. It will be a change through a new covenant. With the new covenant then, God promises something better than all the promises that have come before. It's better than physical life. It's better than the possession of land, better than a successful bloodline, better than the laws written in stone. Let's have a look at what's promised. This time, the promise, according to this prophecy of Jeremiah, is that the law will be written on hearts and minds, much more durable and impacting on society than laws written on stone. This time, the promise is that knowing God, having a relationship with God, is open to everyone, not just a select few, not just the Jews, not just the Israelites. And most importantly of all, the promise is for the forgiveness of sins. In fact, God will not just forgive people their sins, but he'll forget about them. That then frees us from the long-term consequences of our society's wrongdoings and our own wrongdoings. As always, when we read any part of the Bible, including the Old Testament, we can so easily relate to how things must have been for the people as we hear that message from Jeremiah. We do live in a world where there's a huge amount of injustice, where global wealth isn't shared out fairly, where the result of that lack of parity is high levels of poverty in some places and excessive wealth in others. And we see constantly the neglect of the weakest in society, many people and groups not given a voice. And that is sinful. That is not how God intended his world to be. On a personal level, we all know what it is to prioritise other things above our relationship with God. That's idolatry. We frequently live in a way that isn't what God wants for us. And as we looked at last week, we just have to live with the painful consequences of sin in the world here and now. Look around, watch the news, see a hurting world. These are the impacts of God's rules constantly being broken. However, Jeremiah comes with the best news ever. That God makes a commitment to love us unconditionally. It's what we call grace, God's provision of what we don't deserve. In spite of all humanity's broken promises to God, he doesn't break his side of the deal. And that's what we've been looking at, isn't it, over the last few weeks, if you've been listening. It's what we deserve. We've breached our side of the contracts, but it's not how God responds. Instead, God promises forgiveness for all time. He repairs any rifts in our relationship with him, and he gives us access to heaven when we don't deserve it. Jeremiah, in the reading, doesn't specify how the new covenant will come about, other than it is something for the future. And this is where it differs for us today, because when we read the book of Jeremiah, we're looking back in history. Today, we're living at a point in time where the prophecy has now been fulfilled. Today, we are actually living under the new covenant. Next week, it's Palm Sunday, when we focus on Jesus arriving in Jerusalem. And as the accounts of Easter unfold right up to Jesus's death and resurrection, we see how God brought about that new covenant, how he fulfilled his promise through Jesus dying on the cross, the one-time sacrifice we have talked about so much over the last few weeks and will continue to talk about, because it's at the heart of who we are. That sacrifice is at the very centre of what makes us Christians. Jesus is the new covenant. When we believe and trust in Jesus, when we have Jesus' name written on our hearts and minds, we're free from the bleakness and worry of all those things that were happening in Jeremiah's day, even though what's going on in the world today may seem very similar. When we welcome Jesus into our lives, we benefit from all that God has provided for us, from access to heaven when that time comes, and right now, because right now, as we live, we have the Holy Spirit, God's presence with us in life, if we accept it, if we believe in Christ. And we have the benefit of God's healing within us and outside. We have access to being filled with hope, and we have access to daily transformation, affecting how we live, helping us to live well. These are God's promises for us today. Promises of uncompromising, perfect, unfailing, eternal love for you and for me.